you, Charles. That was very cool. You took me for a trip down memory lane there. I remember when the blue book was the new one. So, as you can see, I'm Wendy Joyce. I'm one of the pastors here, and I have the privilege of sharing with you today
what we're going to be. It's working, it's good. What we're going to be doing is kind of breaking things into three parts, and we're going to be looking at Psalms. The first thing that we'll do shortly is I've got a video clip for you to watch, which gives an overview of the book of Psalms. Then I'm going to talk for a little bit about the psalm we're going to be looking at. Stepping Stones and Living Stones know this psalm really well because we spent a couple of weeks studying it. And then we are going to be reading Psalm 139 together. So the video clip that you're going to watch, it's produced by two guys called Tim and John. Wouldn't have a clue what their last names are. One of them is a professor of theology and the other one is a graphic designer, and they're based in Oregon in the States. And they have a website, The Bible Project, and they are making all these video clips that go through the Bible book, by word themes, by topics, word studies, all of those sorts of things. They've got a big team behind them. So the first thing we're doing is watching a video clip made by these guys. I have no idea if I've activated this thing. Excuse us. Haha, that would make a difference.
The Book of Psalms, it's a collection of 150 ancient Hebrew poems, songs, and prayers that come from all different periods in Israel's history. Many of these poems are connected with King David, 73, actually, and he was known as a poet and a harp player. But there are many different authors behind these poems. There's the poems of Asaph, or from the sons of Korah, and some are from other worship leaders in the temple. Even Solomon and Moses have their own poems, and nearly one-third of these are anonymous. Now, many of these poems came to be used by the choirs that sang in Israel's temple, but the Book of Psalms is actually not a hymn book. At some point in the period after Israel's exile to Babylon, these ancient poems were gathered together and intentionally arranged into the Book of Psalms before us. And it has a very unique design and message that you're not going to notice unless you read it from beginning to end. Now, to see how the Book of Psalms is designed, it's actually most helpful to start at the end. The book concludes with five poems of praise to the God of Israel, and each one begins and ends with the word Hallelujah, which is Hebrew for a command to tell a group of people to praise Yah, which is short for the divine name Yahweh. Now, that's a really nice five-part arrangement, and it looks like someone's giving us a conclusion here to the book. So, it invites the question, does the book have any other signs of intentional design? If you pay attention to the headings of the poems, you'll notice that at five places, your Bible translators have the heading Book 1, Book 2, Book 3, 4, and 5 at various points, and that these divide the book into five large sections. Now, the reason for this is that the final poem in each of those sections have a very similar ending that looks like an editorial edition. It reads something like, May the Lord, the God of Israel, be blessed forever and ever. Amen and amen. So the book has a conclusion. It has an internal organization into five main parts, and so the natural place to go from here is now the beginning, to look for an introduction. And what do we find? Psalms 1 and 2, which stand outside of Book 1 because most of the poems in Book 1 are linked to David, except Psalms 1 and 2, which are anonymous. Psalm 1 celebrates how blessed the person is who meditates on the Torah, prayerfully reading it day and night and then obeying it. Now, the word Torah simply means teaching, and more specifically, it came to refer to the five books of Moses that begin the Old Testament. And here, actually, the word seems to be used with both meanings in mind, which explains why it has five main parts. The Book of Psalms is being offered as a new Torah that will teach God's people the lifelong practice of prayer as they strive to obey God's commands given in the first Torah. Psalm 2 is a poetic reflection on God's promise to King David from 2 Samuel chapter 7, that one day a messianic king would come and establish God's kingdom over the world, defeat evil and rebellion among the nations. Now, Psalm 2 concludes by saying that all those who take refuge in the messianic king will be blessed precisely the word used to open Psalm 1. And so together, these two poems tell us that the book of Psalms is designed to be the prayer book of God's people as they strive to be faithful to the commands of the Torah as they hope and wait for the future messianic kingdom. Now, with these two themes introduced, we can start to see how the smaller books have been designed as well around these two ideas. So, for example, Book 1 has right at the center a collection of poems, Psalms 15 through 24, that opens and closes with a call to covenant faithfulness. And then, Psalm 16 to 18, we find a depiction of David as a model of this kind of faithfulness. So he calls out to God to deliver him, and God elevates him as king. Now, in the corresponding set of poems, Psalms 20 to 23, the David of the past has become an image of the messianic king of the future, who will also call out to God. He will be delivered and then given a kingdom over the nations. And then right at the center of this collection is a poem, Psalm 19, dedicated to praising God for the Torah. So here we go. The two themes from Psalms 1 and 2 are bound together tightly here. Book 2 opens with two poems that are united in their hope for a future return to the temple in Zion. And this is an image closely associated with the hope of the Messianic kingdom. Then Book 2 closes with a poem that depicts the future reign of the Messianic king over all of the nation. This poem's really amazing because it echoes all these other passages from the prophets about the Messianic kingdom. And it concludes by saying that this king's reign will bring about the fulfillment of God's ancient promise to Abraham to bring God's blessing to all of the nations. Book 3 also concludes with a poem reflecting on God's promise to David, but this time in light of Israel's exile. So the poet remembers how God said he would never abandon the line of David. But now he's looking at Israel's rebellion and its result in destruction and exile and the downfall of the line of David. And so the poet ends by asking God to never forget his promise to David. Book 4 is designed to respond to this crisis of exile. So the opening poem returns us back to Israel's roots with a prayer of Moses. And he does what he did on Mount Sinai after the golden calf incident, which is to call upon God to show mercy. The center of Book 4 is dominated by a group of poems that announce that the Lord, the God of Israel, reigns as the true king of the world, and that all creation, trees, mountains, rivers, are all summoned to celebrate that future day when God will bring his justice and kingdom over all the world. Book 5 opens with a series of poems that affirm that God hears the cries of his people and will one day send the future king to defeat evil and bring God's kingdom. This book also contains two larger collections, one called the Hallel and the other called the Songs of Ascents. Each one of these collections concludes with a poem about the future messianic kingdom. And these two collections together, they sustain the hope for a future Exodus-like act of God to redeem his people. And then, right between them is Psalm 119. It's the longest poem in the book. It's an alphabet poem. Each line begins with a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it explores the wonder and the gift of the Torah as God's word to his people. So here we go. The themes from Psalm 1 and 2, Torah and Messiah, combined all together here in Book 5, which brings us all the way back to that five-poem conclusion. In the center poem, Psalm 148, all creation is summoned to praise the God of Israel because he has, quote, raised up a horn for his people. Now, the horn here, it's a metaphor of a bull's horn raised in victory. And this image echoes back to the same image used in Hannah's song, 1 Samuel chapter 2, but also to the earlier Psalm 132. The horn is a symbol for the future messianic king and his victory over evil. It's a fitting conclusion to this amazing book. Now, here's one more thing that you are likely going to miss if you don't read this book in order. There's lots of different kinds of poems in the Book of Psalms, but they all basically fall into two big categories, either poems of lament or poems of praise. Poems of lament express pain, confusion, and anger about how horrible the world is and how horrible the things are happening to the poet. And so these poems draw attention to what's wrong in the world, and they ask God to do something about it. There's a lot of these in the book, which tells us something important, that lament is an appropriate response to the evil that we see in our world. But what you'll notice is that lament poems predominate earlier in the book, in books 1 through 3. But pay attention, because you'll see praise poems occasionally too. Praise poems are poems of joy and celebration, and they draw attention to what's good in the world, and they retell stories of what God has done in our lives and thank God for it. In books 4 and 5, you'll notice that praise poems come to outnumber lament poems, and it all culminates in that 5-part hallelujah conclusion. So this shift from lament to praise, this is profound, and it tells us something about the nature of prayer. As we hope for the messianic kingdom, as the book teaches us to do, this will create tension for us as we look out on the tragic state of our world and of our lives. And so the Psalms teach us not to ignore the pain of our lives, but at the same time, biblical faith is forward-looking, looking to the promise of God's future messianic kingdom. And so Torah and Messiah, lament and praise, faith and hope. That's what the book of Psalms is all about.
So I hope you all enjoyed that. By the way, the activity packs are over there for the kids, and there is only one sheet in it, and it was to do a word count on that video clip. Sorry. If you want to grab the sheets later, take it home, watch the clip, bring them back to me, that'd be cool. So the psalm we're going to look at in a bit more in depth today is Psalm 139. So this one's been popular for some time. I did a whole lot of research and reading, and there was medieval theologians were talking about it a long time ago. They talked about how much it teaches us about the marvels of God and about creation, how if we look at our own bodies, we look at the world around us, we see how big and amazing and wonderful God is and how that blows our minds. Augustine, who's quite a famous dude in church history, said that seeing as God is everywhere, we should run to God and confess and seek his love and forgiveness and all those things, because there's no point running away, because it's a futile exercise. The psalm also talks of God's omniscience, so that God is everywhere. It talks of God's omnipotence, his all-powerfulness in creation. It talks about, omniscience was God knowing everything, omnipotence in creation. Talks about how incomprehensible God is to us as human beings, because he's just so otherworldly, just so out there, and we're so insignificant in comparison. But Psalm 139 also takes these big ideas and shows us how personal God is to us and how God is involved in our world and in our lives. Scholars can't agree which category to put Psalm 139 into. Sometimes it looks like a lament, sometimes it looks like a hymn of praise. Some say that it is written from the perspective of someone who has been accused of idolatry, and it's an appeal to God to search, to vindicate, to know the truth. Others say it's someone who's soul-searching, who's exploring their faith, who's exploring the world. And also, it could just be a straight hymn of praise. Is it for public? Is it for private use? Don't know. So we're now going to read Psalm 139 out loud together to increase our personal understanding. Not quite going to do it simply, though. Behind me on the screen shortly, the words will come up, and the words have been highlighted different colours. Okay? The words highlighted in blue will be read by the two outer blocks of seats. Okay. The words in green will be read by that block on the left, well, my left, your right there. And the words in red will be read by this block here in front of the sound desk. So we'll go through, we'll practice each lot of words, we'll put it together, then we'll read the psalm. I'll read the words in black. So the groups on the edge, the two different groups, I'll read along with you. And remember, kids, those who've been in Quarry and Stepping Stones, you know this psalm really well, so feel free to be really loud if you'd want to. Okay, let's read together. Lord, you. O Lord, you. You. O God, you. O God, you. O Lord, you. That's right. Okay, the next group, and we will go through this a couple of times, is this group here on my left, your right. Okay. So I got them, there is a lot of words, I got them as big as I could. Okay, let's go. Searched, know, discern, search, acquainted, know, completely, knowledge, high, where, presence, heaven, Sheol, farthest, darkness, light, night, darkness, night, day, darkness, not hidden, secret, intricately, depths, book, days, weighty, vast, more, heart, thoughts, and lead. Is there anyone who wasn't sure on what some of those words meant? This is my Cadman hat on in saying that. Cool. The next section. Yep. They're all themed. Okay, let's read together. Me, I, my, me, I, my, I, me, I, me, me, my, I, my, me, I, me, I, me, my, me, my, me. So, be clear, we're good? Okay, we need another practice. Okay, so the two outer groups. Lord, you. O Lord, you. Your. You. Your. You. You. Your. Your. You. O God. You. O God. You. You. O Lord. You, O God. Cool. This group on the my left, your right. Searched, known, know, discern, search, acquainted, know, completely, knowledge, high, where, presence, heaven, Sheol, farthest, darkness, light, night, darkness, night, day, darkness, not hidden, secret, intricately, depths, book, days, weighty, vast, more, heart, thoughts, lead. The last group. Me, I, my. Me, I, my, I, me, I, me, my, me, my, I, my, I, my, me, I, me, I, me, my, me, my, me. Cool. Let's put them all together. Okay. Remember the colours. Remember the zones that you're in. I'll say them all with you as well. Lord, you searched me, known me, you know I, you discern my, you search my, my, acquainted, my, O Lord, you know completely, you, me, your, me, knowledge, me, high, I, where, I, your, where, I, your, presence, I, heaven. You are my shield. You are farthest. You're me. I darkness. Me light. Me night. Darkness. You night. Day. Darkness. You. You. My. You. Me. My. I. You. I. Your. I. My. Not hidden. You. I. Secret. Intricately. Depths. Your. My. Your. Book. Days. Me. Weighty. Me. Your. O God. Vast. I. More. I. You. You. O God. Me. You. You. I. You. O Lord. I. You. I. Me. O God. My heart. Me. My thoughts. Me. Lead. Me. So those are all the words that you will be saying when we actually read all the psalm. I'll read the words in black and you'll read the coloured words as we've been practicing. Three slides again. O
Lord, you
have
me
and
me
when
I
sit down and when
I
rise up. Thoughts from far away, out, path and lying down, and are with all ways, even before a word is on tongue, it, him, in, behind and before, and lay hand upon such is too wonderful. For it is so that cannot attain it, can go from spirit, or can flee from, if ascend to, are there, if make bed in, are there, if take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there
your
hand shall lead
me,
and
your
right hand shall hold
me
fast. If
I
say, surely thee shall cover
me,
and the
light
around
me
become
light.
Even the
darkness
is not dark to
you.
The is as bright as the for is as light to
you.
For it was
you
who formed inward parts, you knit
me
together in mother's womb. Praise
you,
for
I
am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are
your
works that I know very well. Frame was from when was being made in, woven in the of the earth. Your eyes beheld unformed substance in, were written all the that were formed for when none of them as yet existed. How to are thoughts, how is the sum of them? I try to count them. They are
more
than the sand.
I
come to the end.
I
am still with
you.
Oh, that
you
would kill the wicked,
oh,
and that the bloodthirsty would depart from
me.
Those who speak of
you
maliciously and lift themselves up against
you
for evil do not hate those who hate
you,
and do not loathe those who rise up against
you.
Hate them with perfect hatred. I Count them my enemies. Search
me, O God.
And know
my heart.
Test
me,
and know
my thoughts.
See if there is any wicked way in
me,
and
lead me
in the way everlasting. So thank you. I hope in reading like that, that's brought out some different aspects of the psalm that might not otherwise have been apparent to you. Now in closing, I'd like you to reflect upon Psalm 139 using 3 points. Look up, look in, and look out. I'll pause slightly between each of them. Look up. What do these verses say of God? Look in. What do these verses say of ourselves?
Kia ora. Welcome to the Hutt City Baptist podcast. For more information, visit us at huttbaptist.org.nz.
Look out. What do these verses say of others and our relationships with them? Amen.